Support for WYPR comes from University of Maryland Medical System, where world-class doctors are pioneering immunotherapy that's helping to stop cancer in its tracks. And with screenings and advanced treatments across the state, it's cancer care made for Marylanders. Learn more at umms.org/cancer.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Midday. I'm Carla Hayden. Today, redistricting. A new redistricting map promises to bring 8 Maryland Democrats to Washington, D.C. instead of the current 7 Democrats and 1 Republican representing the state. And last week, that reality got one step closer, then one step further away. And ahead of one of the most anticipated midterm elections, why is Maryland, a decidedly blue state, apparently resistant to redistricting? Well, to answer that question, we have WYPR State House reporter Sarah Petrowick with us, and she's been following every twist and turn from the state capitol in Annapolis. Sarah, it's great to speak with you.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Dr. Hayden.
So, Sarah, tell us the latest. Because I know it seemed for a minute like we would never hear about redistricting again here in Maryland until last week. So what happened?
Right. It was awfully quiet here in Annapolis around redistricting for a couple of weeks. And then the House kind of made a last-ditch attempt, I would call it, to revive a redistricting conversation before the legislature wraps up here within the next 2 weeks. So on Friday, the House gave final approval to a bill known as Senate Bill 5, which is actually completely unrelated to redistricting in some cases. It is about giving special election authority to the voters of Maryland instead of having the governor just appoint someone if there's a vacancy within the General Assembly. This would give voters the opportunity to have a little bit more say in who their representative would be if there is a vacancy. So that bill passed in the Senate almost unanimously. Bipartisanly, and then it went to the House, and in a surprise amendment, the House added some language around redistricting. And essentially what it would do is it would change the Maryland Constitution, some language within there that would make it a little bit easier to draw congressional maps in a way that could favor a certain political party's candidates, right? In this case, we have a Democratic supermajority in the General Assembly. So this would give Democrats the power to draw legislative maps without them having to be as compact or contiguous or respect boundary lines in order to try to get 8 representatives to Congress on behalf of Democrats. We currently are sending 7 Democrats to Congress. There's 1 Republican representative, Andy Harris, but Democrats want to redraw that district to make it more competitive in favor of Democrats. So that's the big piece of it. There's also another part of the amendment that would give original jurisdiction over districting cases to the Supreme Court of Maryland. That would just help speed up any legal processes, because right now, if someone wants to sue over a map for being unfair, it has to go through 2 rounds of appeals before it gets to the Maryland Supreme Court. So if there were a map to pass, there would inevitably be a challenge, and this would just speed up that legal process. And so just to wrap up here on this note, this does not include the actual map. We have seen a map earlier this session that was proposed and was passed by the House that would essentially try to get that 8-0 map for Democrats. The Senate has been holding that up, which we can talk about a little bit more later, but the House decided to try to introduce this compromise and said, okay, fine, no map, but here's these amendments that would make it a little bit easier to draw these districts down the line before 2030.
Okay, that's what's happening now. I think it would be helpful if we take a step back to look at how we got here. Governor Wes Moore first created a redistricting advisory commission back in November of last year. And this was as California voters approved a redistricting proposal brought by their governor, Gavin Newsom. So what was the feeling around redistricting here in Maryland then?
I think there maybe was a little bit more of a rally behind the Democrats in this case. There was a lot of conversations around this need to push back against Republican states that were redistricting to favor the GOP, right? Particularly Texas, which has now completed that map and could pick up as much as 5 seats, right? But as you mentioned, the California map that passed would essentially negate any pickups by Republicans. But there was this kind of redistricting arms race going on back like closer to the summer of last year, and there was a little bit more of a rally cry. But, Maryland didn't really enter the conversation until later. And again, we'll get to this, but Senate President Bill Ferguson, who is a Democrat, he is the strongest opponent of redistricting in Maryland. And he sent out a release in October before that November commission was created, saying that he was against early redistricting. And he outlined several points as to why he was opposed to it. So, there might have been more of a rally behind Democrats, especially in a Democratic supermajority state like Maryland, maybe closer to the summer when this was more of a conversation, but we kind of saw it fizzle out nationwide and then it restarted in Maryland, but it just has been struggling to gain the support that it might have had back when this was all in the zeitgeist.
Okay, and in January, Governor Moore testified in Annapolis supporting a House bill with the new congressional map. And it was a pointed and pretty impassioned speech. So let's hear some of that.
Make no mistake, what the President of the United States is doing right now is political redlining. And it's not lost on me that I am the only black governor in this country, and only the third elected black governor in the history of this nation. And Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and their allies in the states that he suggested are doing everything in their power to silence the voices and trying to eliminate black leadership, elected leadership, all over this country. So no, I will not sit quiet. And the audacity of those who are telling me to do so shows that they have no understanding of the journey of so many who came before us. We are watching a federal administration that is breaking the law to inflict harm on Americans.
So that was part of it, but it wasn't all of it.
So I know that history is not going to remember the Trump-Vance administration kindly. But to all those who kowtow, for all those who are trying to move the goalposts, for all those who are looking for all the reasons why we should not respond, instead of using your energy to find ways to respond, history will remember you worse. And I urge the passing of this bill.
And again, that was January. Governor Moore included it at the very beginning of his State of the State address in February, too. And then, Sarah,
yeah, that was a pretty big surprise to some lawmakers when Governor Moore included redistricting at the opening of his State of the State address, but it really didn't change much. Again, his main opponent here is Democratic Senate President Bill Ferguson, who made his position clear since October that he wasn't interested in bringing it forward. And even with Senate President right behind Governor Moore, and they shook hands after he made the comment saying, we disagree on this, but I really urge a vote on the bill. That handshake happened, and there was still no movement on the bill in the Senate.
And why was that? Because apparently Maryland's House had been in support of the bill. They sponsored the bill Governor Moore was speaking about in that clip we just played. And what about the Maryland Senate then?
Right. So Senate President Bill Ferguson has really had a slew of reasons as to why he's opposed to redistricting. It's really focused around the legal challenges. So Maryland actually tried to propose an 8-0 map, so this map that would favor 8 Democrats in Congress back when they had to redraw the congressional map in 2020. And so that map was immediately challenged by some Republicans, and it inevitably led to a court decision in 2022 where the judge ruled that it was violating the Maryland Constitution for extreme partisan gerrymandering. And that referred to this specific section of the Maryland Constitution that says, "Each legislative district shall be consistent of adjoining territory, compact, etc." There's a couple of provisions in there, but there's this key question around this phrase of each legislative district. So the judge in that case said that this applies to General Assembly districts as well as congressional districts. And so this kind of set this precedent that all maps need to be drawn with this kind of compact and contiguousness in mind in Maryland. And Senate President Bill Ferguson has pointed to this, right? So he said, we've already tried this a couple of years ago. A judge struck it down. And he has these concerns that if another map were to come this quickly around, it would also be struck down again. And not only that, then a judge might step in and say, okay, we're going to draw the map instead. And he's worried that it could cede even more ground to Republicans. So if a judge draws a map, perhaps it could end up being, two Republicans in Congress on behalf of Maryland instead of one. So that's the main argument from Senate President Bill Ferguson. He's also raised concerns about the timeline, racial gerrymandering, and most importantly, now, if you ask him about it, he says the Senate just has other things it wants to focus on: affordability, rising gas prices, utility bills, things like that. So he's really pivoted away from redistricting at this point.
Now, let's dig into that a little bit more, Sarah, because Senator Ferguson has also been urged to vote for this bill, not just by Governor Moore in the House, Maryland House. After Governor Moore's State of the State address, U.S. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries met with Senator Ferguson on this issue. So, what was the result of that?
Yeah, again, really no movement. This was a pretty prominent leader, someone who could be the next Speaker of the House if Democrats do flip the U.S. House, which is kind of what this redistricting battle is all about, right? Currently, the Republicans are in power, and Democrats see this as a move to try to get them some power back in the federal government level. But yes, Hakeem Jeffries came here. He had a private meeting with Senate President Bill Ferguson, as well as the House and Governor Moore. And that meeting was described as very cordial, that there was no feud between Senate President Bill Ferguson and Hakeem Jeffries, but nothing ended up coming out of it. We really got the same statements that we've been getting this entire time, where Senate President Bill Ferguson says he respects, Leader Jeffries' views, but he really has no interest in moving on it because he does not see it as a priority for Maryland at this time.
Very interesting. And in your reporting, Sarah, you describe what happens next as silence. Is that right?
Pretty much. So after that was really the last big thing we had heard in Annapolis about redistricting. There was that meeting, no budge in the Senate, and it had pretty much fallen out of the rhetoric of lawmakers as well as Governor Wes Moore. We did not hear him talk publicly about it for a while, or if he did, he's just really said, similar things as what he had mentioned previously. But again, no true movement on it. You could almost call it dead, never quite, obviously, as we saw be revived, but we really didn't have any inclination that it was going to make one final big push until most recently.
And that brings us again back to last week when the House here in Maryland brought it up again on principle, it sounds like, once again invoking the ideas Governor Moore laid out initially. And regarding the constitutional issues, they say they've addressed them. And in fact, here's Maryland House Delegate David Moon.
At this point, the message is for the Senate. We did everything we can to incorporate your perspective into this discussion. I concede there's not going to be a map this year. I respect your decision on that. I concede your worry that there has been prior court misinterpretation of our Constitution that gives you pause about what might happen. We incorporated that concern into this bill. And now we pause here again with the concern I raised, and you can raise hackles about it, but that's how I see what's going on in the world.
So, Sarah, unpack that a little bit. Why did the House bring this back up?
Yeah, I want to contextualize that last point that Majority Leader Moon made there at the end, where he said he wants to go back to the concern that he raised, which is what he called a rising dictatorship at the federal level. So he's been a staunch opponent of the Trump administration. And Democratic Leader Moon believes that redistricting in Maryland could be an effective way to push back against the Trump administration. And that's really where this line is between House Democrats and the governor on one side and Senate President Bill Ferguson and the rest of his, the majority of his chamber, as well as Senate Democrats, argue that these are not the right ways to fight back against the Trump administration. But the House here again is really making what they call a compromise. Governor Moore's spokesperson also referred to this as a compromise bill, where it does not include that map again. So Maryland would keep its current congressional map, where it has one Republican representative in Congress, but it clarifies that constitutional language that was such a key part of the court decision that struck down the 8-0 map in 2022, that says each legislative district shall consist of adjoining territory, be compact in form, due regard to natural boundaries, boundaries, et cetera. So this would clarify that on that language only applies to general assembly districts. So you only have to draw either House of Delegates or state Senate districts with these guidelines in mind, not for congressional districts. And that would really open up the door for the controlling party, again in Maryland currently, that is the Democrats, to draw a map down the road that could favor Democrats 8-0. So we could see that map pop up. Honestly, it could be within the next couple of months. It could be within years. Maryland is set to do its general redistricting process after the census is released. So that usually happens every 10 years. This would happen after 2030. But that's when Senate President Bill Ferguson says he's interested in taking a look at it. He has no plans, he says, to look at redistricting between now and 2030. So it still comes down to a battle between the House and the Senate.
And this was Senator Ferguson's response, not that different from his previous reactions.
I don't think anything's changed since the beginning of session. I think I've been pretty clear where I think the Senate is on this. And, I think everybody had already moved past this issue, except for a few others who hadn't. So, I think we're going to keep focusing on the things we know Marylanders care the most about.
Sarah, what is happening? This is giving me whiplash. And
yeah.
This is what's happening.
No, yeah, I really just cannot stress enough that Senate President Bill Ferguson has no intention of bringing anything related to redistricting forward this session. It would be a huge surprise if by the last day of session on April 13th, there is any movement on this in the Senate. But he has made his stance clear. The House has made their position clear. They've done what they can. They passed this bill on third read. It has now been sent to the Senate, but it is likely going to die there until, yeah, either next session or maybe not even until 2030.
Well, this is how Delegate Moon put it ahead of this midterm. They did what they could.
I want to leave here this chamber and say we did everything we could here in the year 2026, as I see that conclusion, to do what we could.
Sarah, we've been talking a lot about these elected officials and their positions, but what about the constituents, the people of Maryland? Have they made their voices heard on this issue?
Yeah, no, that's a great point as well. There has been some polling on this, and most Marylanders rank redistricting as a very low priority for them, right? They are focused again on affordability, rising grocery prices, rising utility bill prices. Those are the things that Marylanders are making it clear that they care about, that they want to see their elected leaders working on. And that's what Senate President Bill Ferguson is really, trying to drive home. He's saying that's what my chamber is focused on. He's arguing that they are passing bills that are helping, easing the strain on the wallets of Marylanders. And he's saying, when I talk to my constituents and I have conversations about what they care about, redistricting is never mentioned, right? That's what his argument is. He's saying that he wants to follow what the people that elected him want him to do. Therefore, he's deciding to not move on redistricting and instead focus on these other legislative issues.
Sarah Petrowich is WYPR State House reporter. Thank you, Sarah, for taking us through this.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Coming up, smoke shops. They seem to be everywhere, but they may be getting another look when it comes to regulation. It's midday. I'm Carla Hayden, so stay with us.
This is 88.1 WYPR, your local NPR news station.